If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at www.thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we'd like to do here on Herb Talk. Oh, thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about the adult vaccination schedule. Oh, this whole program is picking up momentum, and you've got to know this. Also, we got a lot to talk about on that, but we may have time to squeeze in some information on how important it is to have iodine. So we're going to talk about that, and we have a quack report. And by the way, this is a peanut-free broadcast. Yep, if you caught the show, what was it the other week, Frank? We had peanuts before I went on the air, and then I wanted to just cough like Hillary Clinton. So peanut-free broadcast tonight. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi. I know. From Big Salute and Semper Fi, I'm lifting our righteous men and women up in prayer, as well as all of America. And I hope you will join me and mind the time. It grows short. And I do have my devotional today. So today's devotional is a little synopsis from John 15, Isaiah 61, and 2 Corinthians 6. And it goes like this. I am your best friend, as well as your king. Walk hand in hand with me through your life. Together we will face whatever each day brings. Pleasures, hardships, adventures, disappointments. Nothing is wasted when it is shared with me. I can bring beauty out of the ashes of lost dreams. I can glean joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity. Only a friend who is also the King of Kings could accomplish this divine blend, and there is no other like me. The friendship I offer you is practical and down to earth, yet it is saturated with heavenly glory. Living in my presence means living in two realms simultaneously, the visible world and the unseen eternal reality. I have equipped you to stay conscious of me while walking along dusty, earthbound paths. Beautiful. And, you know, mind the time, seek the Lord's face, you know, got to find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker is this shocking report from California, where leprosy is found in a primary school there. Parents are refusing to send their children to the Indian Hills Elementary School in a Jupura Valley. So the school, they say, has now been disinfected. They disinfected all their classrooms. The superintendent, Elliot Duchon, says the school's classrooms have been decontaminated. There is no more threat. And he says that the two students that were suspected of having the disease are not in the school. And so he said for parents, they need to make a decision regarding their children, but they're not recommending any precautions. There's no risk at this time. The two students that were believed to be infected have been pulled out of class. Unclear, though, how they got infected and whether they were recently overseas or if they're immigrants. It's not clear. The report doesn't say. So despite the attempt to reassure parents, dozens of kids were absent from school, like 90 students didn't go, and I think the school holds about 400 children. So parents a little anxious about this. The World Health Organization has reported the exact way, they say the exact way to contract leprosy is unknown, but it is contagious, they think. And that's why, you know, people were isolated in leper colonies, you know, years ago. So the disease works by damaging, they say, small nerves on the skin surface, resulting in loss of sensation, which can be a serious problem, especially if you don't know you're getting burned or cut or injured. And most people get burns and skin ulcers that way. They do say that the disease is treated with antibiotics. So, leprosy in our schools now. Think about this. All right, moving along in the quack report. People kind of up in arms down in South Florida, Miami area, with all the spraying for the Zika issue. Dozens of protesters lined up in front of Miami Beach City Hall to protest. Local leaders talked about the chemicals they were using to fight the Zika mosquito control. And people just not happy with this massive spraying, whether it's Wynwood area or others. So there's growing concerns the residents are having. In consultation with health experts, the city of Miami decided to delay aerial spraying for one day. They are using an adulticide, which is, you know, an anti-bug insecticide, but they are going to pick up spraying tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 5. The chemical, actually, according to one business owner by the name of Chad Allison, he says the chemical they're using was banned from Puerto Rico and 22 other European unions. So he says, you know, this is definitely sending the wrong message for tourism. Well, forget the tourism. What about the residents that have to live there underneath this blanket of insecticide? We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Last but not least in the Quack Report, smart meters appear to be causing fires in various locations across America. They began to put smart meters on homes and businesses starting a few years back. They say it's a more efficient way to monitor electric usage. It sends a wireless transmission multiple times a day to the power company. But they also seem to be dangerous. According to one Kansas City, Missouri resident, she learned that her house was on fire. Her neighbor called her while she was at work, and so the fire company came and the investigation ensued. And, of course, they said that, yep, the smart meter caused the fire, but they said that it's rare. It's not a usual thing. But 700,000 meters have been installed by KCP&L, and a handful of the meters have malfunctioned and put homeowners at risk. So they're just looking at this as a quite dangerous issue, because unprecedented emergencies can come out of this. You know, if enough of these things kind of, you know, malfunction, we got problems. I mean, California's burning enough. They don't need smart meters added to that. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about the adult vaccines, you know, gaining momentum here in the United States. The campaign to vaccinate all adults is really picking up speed. The state of New York may lead the pack because they're rolling out this vaccine campaign, and they're calling it Immunize All New Yorkers. And the word immunize, the N and the Y is capitalized in the word immunize for New York. Now, Orange County, New York has a vaccine quiz page to help parents figure out what vaccines their teenager might be missing. And while they're there, they can see what vaccines they should be getting, dictated by age or illness they may have. So the adult schedule for vaccine goes beyond the influenza vaccine, and it includes 13 vaccinations. So we're going to take a look at how this adult vaccinate campaign is taking shape and the strategies they're using to convince adults that they need to be vaccinated. All right, first off, we're going to look at the healthcare requires more vaccines all the way around. And by the way, if you have not signed up for the newsletters at thepowerherbs.com, please do so, because you get a lot of this health information in your email. This week, you will be getting, if you're on the list, you would be getting the CDC's panel of information on the adult vaccines based on age and what they're recommending, and also if you have a specific illness, what they're recommending for you there. So the adult vaccine schedules are specific to age or a condition that you may have. So if you are on the newsletters list, you're going to see these charts of the vaccines you're going to need. And the adult vaccine schedule looks like this: flu, tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, you know, your DPT, your measles, mumps, rubella, or your MMR, the human papillomavirus, and the chickenpox vaccine, and that's just for starters. Physicians may also add hepatitis A and B, the hip meningitis, and pneumonia vaccines. So the older adults, you know, they pretty much have the same lineup minus the MMR and the HPV vaccine, but then they have the shingles vaccine is added to their chart. And you, when you look at these charts, you're going to notice that the older adults, you know, the chickenpox is on their schedule as well as the shingles vaccine. They're both recommended. So if you recall a previous report that I did, I revealed that the shingles vaccine is in reality the chickenpox vaccine, just 14 times stronger. So it's kind of like double whammy for people, you know, over 50. So medicine knows that the chickenpox vaccine brings about the shingles. So you know those people, they're going to be getting the shingles. So these schedules, they don't even include vaccines for pandemics, which are often hastily developed. You know, vaccines like the tuberculosis, it's called the BCG, or the new Zika vaccine you're going to be seeing, as well as anthrax, smallpox, bubonic, cholera, hemorrhagic viruses like Ebola. They're not on here, but, you know, they could be at any point in time. Also, let's talk about the mass inoculation strategies. So what's their strategy to get people, you know, who, you know, adults aren't used to getting vaccinated unless they're traveling to a foreign country and it's required, or, you know, they decide they want a flu vaccine. They're just not used to getting these boosters and all this stuff. So how are you going to convince adults to do that? Well, most of the 50 U.S. states have vaccine coalitions. So the Cleveland Clinic has endorsed strategies to promote the success and increase of the number of adults that are vaccinated. So the strategies they're using to convince adults to roll up their sleeve are, you ready? Publish morbidity and mortality rates in adults. Develop, publish, and endorse state and national guidelines for adult vaccines. Enforce hospital, quote, standing orders and long-term care facilities creating opportunities to vaccinate. Clinical practices should send out reminders and also utilize their call systems to contact patients. Educate or indoctrinate clinicians with all the adult vaccine educational materials. Also, actively promote organizations, state and national coalitions to promote adult vaccines. And the CDC projected a 60% national average of older and chronically ill adults to be vaccinated by the year 2000. So by the year 2020, the CDC wants to have expanded the adult vaccination program, and they also add the following strategies to accomplish this. They want to project activities to include physician presentations at county and state meetings, and also during hospital rounds. Okay, so doctors on hospital rounds in the morning, they're going to have an extra duty to promote adult vaccines. Also, media campaign for newspapers, radio, print ads, bus advertisements, print feature articles on adult vaccines to also include healthcare newsletters and 100,000 physician newsletters as well. Milk cartons, grocery bags, and billboard ads promoting adult vaccines, as well as distributing 400,000 pamphlets, posters, stickers, buttons, all promoting, you know, adult vaccines. You're going to see all your healthcare workers, all your social workers wearing that kind of stuff. Also, you're going to see they're going to create a National Adult Immunization Awareness Week that is going to be supported by the media and publicly, and it's going to be supported, and they're going to remove all cost and accessibility constraints. So it's, you know, no holes barred, basically, there. They're also going to print and distribute adult vaccination cards to health departments nationwide, and surveillance improvements will be essential to improve vaccination goals. So more surveillance is on the way. Okay, well, let's look at the current CDC surveillance. So how do they know who has, you know, been vaccinated and who hasn't? Well, we need to keep in mind that the media really doesn't always get the story right. So we've been told that 90% compliance projections are for the seasonal flu shot, when in actuality it's like 58 to 61% at the most. That's the number of Americans that actually go get a flu shot. So currently, the CDC receives its data on vaccine compliance for adults through the following resources. One is the National Health Interview Survey by the NHIS. It's through in-person household interviews, also known as your census. Also, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which monitors behavioral risks at the state level and with yearly evaluations. Then there's the pregnancy risk assessment monitoring system, which monitors women before, during, and after pregnancy. Did you know that? That's crazy. And lastly, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It's their data set. It's where they go the screening and assessment for qualified care. Yeah. Let me read you this quote by Vaccine Impact. They say this, the medical debate regarding vaccines, there are four actual categories representing the medical community because, you know, they're not all on the same sheet of music, your health professionals, on the vaccine issue. So one category is the anti-vaccine group. One is the selective vaccine group. Then there's the delayed vaccines, and then there's the pro-vaccine. So not all your doctors are in agreement on vaccines. Well, and what about informed consent, right? We hear about that. Well, according to the CDC's website, quote, there is no federal requirement for informed consent relating to immunizations, end of quote. So if you go to the CDC website, they refer you to this interactive map to check out your state's health department for informed consent. And by the way, if you are signed up for the newsletters, you would get this hyperlink where you go check this out. So if you click, I went there and I clicked on North Carolina and I was sent over to the North Carolina Health and Human Services site, and they have information on all kinds of vaccines, but nothing on informed consent. So I'm going to say our state doesn't give informed consent. Now, the National Vaccine Information Center offers also an interactive, quote, disease and vaccines page, which is, you know, should be checked out. And you can also check your state for its vaccine laws there. Okay, so you just click on your state big map and you can see what the laws are for your particular state, which is very cool. All right, so National Vaccine Information Center says this, vaccination is a medical treatment that carries a risk of injury or death. The right to informed consent to any medical treatment that can kill or injure you or your child is a human right, end of quote. Well, the government don't think so. And here's a quote, again, by Vaccine Impact. They say there are currently hundreds of proposed bills designed to eliminate or severely restrict the ability of parents to opt out of vaccinations for their children or for themselves, end of quote. Catch that? Mm-hmm. All right. And so there's policy, right? Well, there's going to be some changes to the policy. Yeah. The changes that we see developing regarding vaccines is not restricted to the school age patients or even by country, because in the United States, there's this growing pressure to employees to keep their vaccine status current as a condition for employment, as we see in the healthcare area. So, however, this vaccine employment trend is really not restricted to the United States. Other countries are experiencing the same thing, and there is this effort from the World Health Organization to have one global vaccine policy and get rid of all these individual national policies. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Australia and Israel have a policy in place that if the child is not up to date on vaccines, the family is cut off from the government financial benefits. Therefore, if the family is under the national health care insurance controlled by the government, they would have no benefits. Mm-hmm. So healthcare really is one of the avenues it's being used to control the masses. So you can see this kind of playing out in South Florida, for instance, and in Brazil with all the spraying for the Zika. You know, the populace is getting coated with pesticides to supposedly protect them from the Zika virus by killing the mosquitoes. But the people are not offered informed consent. And Florida residents are beginning to experience various symptoms. So one Florida resident in the spray zone complained to city officials and the mayor that the pesticide plane flew over her home 9 times in one day. She said that her tongue swelled up and she couldn't speak. Wow. So the people of Florida have real concerns that the Zika virus is really not transmitted by infected mosquitoes, nor is it the cause of the birth defects. It's the pesticides that are the cause. And we already had a report from virologists in Brazil that felt the same way because they had mosquitoes all over Brazil. And only in the areas that were being coated with pesticides did you have the encephalopathy issue with the brain damage and the small brains on the children. So it's probably not what you're being told. It's probably the pesticides. Now, one idea here is that there's the possibility that this whole thing with the mosquitoes and the Zika, it's a scare to add the Zika virus to a vaccine schedule. You know, the bird influenza is a previous example of what happened there. Now the H1N1's in your flu shot. So one of the deterrents that the CDC recognizes why adult vaccination rates are low is this, quote, lack of vaccine requirements for adults, end of quote. So which means new laws will be created to force compliance. Did you get that? There's a lack of requirements. So they're going to create some. That's what they're going to do. All right. There's some new strategies coming down the pike. New ones. The new strategies that the medical community is implementing to increase the adult vaccine compliance, which have actually begun in 47 U.S. states. This is it. You ready? Hold on to yourself. Okay, they're going to create organizational change and intervention through orders, protocols required for assessment or creating a need to be vaccinated. They have community prevention service task force set up to identify percentage of adult population as non-compliant. Also, they're going to require a receipt that you were vaccinated. Yeah, patients, if you just can't say you were vaccinated, you have to have proof. Also, you're going to have to provide convenient access to all vaccines through sponsor outlets, financial assistance, and even after business hour access. So they're going to make it easy. Also, they're going to expand the state communication pediatric reporting, also called state registries, to include the adult vaccines, so health providers will have access to the system to check the vaccine status on their adult patients. They're also going to maximize the use of electronic medical records to increase vaccination rates. The medical providers are going to be required to stock all recommended vaccines for adults, no excuses. Also, document all adult vaccines given. They have to do that electronically, and they're going to highly scrutinize all self-reported vaccinations. They're going to see that as, they're going to say it as a bias. They're going to say you're lying. Unless you can prove it, they're going to say you're lying. What else? You want to be aware of the selective behavioral characteristics, they say, affecting vaccine compliance. And those would be, but not limited to, preventative health protocols, like your immune-boosting stuff. Also, vaccine safety concerns, your intervention programs, and religion. Uh-oh. You can't use those things. You can't use those things as an excuse not to be vaccinated, they say. Problem. So they're going to increase compliance also through healthcare provider recommendations. So your doctors are really going to push this. And they're going to require your healthcare professionals to do vaccine assessments as part of your routine care. So you just go in there for a sore throat, they're going to go through the vaccine protocol checklist. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. It's time flies. Is it time for a break already? Goodness. We got more on this, just a little bit more, not a whole lot. And then we're going to fly into our iodine issue. Be right back.
You're breaking my heart. Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Go green. Herb Talk Live Green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Outside is gonna help our souls tonight. No one here to help our souls tonight. It's on me, it's on you. you.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and we're talking about this adult vaccination scheme, getting some momentum behind it, getting underway. And we were talking about some of the new strategies they're rolling out to improve compliance, people, you know, agreeing to be vaccinated. So what they also want to do is they want to make vaccine compliance appear as an educational program for patients. You know, it's for your benefit, your good, you know, you gotta do your part for the better good of the community kind of thing. Also, they're going to require patients to update their vaccine schedules annually to prove their compliance. Now, why would you have to do that? Well, I mean, if they're going to expect you to do that, there's got to be some sort of penalty for not doing that, because people aren't going to do it. It's just another thing they have to do, and they don't want to. Also, they're going to require vaccine compliance for, of course, the healthcare professionals, which you do see already, and involve associations in implementing vaccine coverage. So that could be, you know, the company you work for, you know. Could be your bank or your social club or something. Now, according to the National Vaccine Information Center, children require 49 doses of 14 different vaccines before they can even cross the threshold of a school building, whether that's public or private, or even, you know, the kids have to get their vaccines before they even go to daycare now. So, you know, in less than 50 years, the number of childhood vaccines, those doses that are administered, have increased by 90%. So the government is expecting adults to get a mere 13 vaccines. But who's to say in 50 years that requirement could easily become 25 vaccines? Think about it. So we have to wonder, you know, at what point may they force compliance? So if the government and the medical science area can force healthcare employees to be vaccinated or face unemployment or a loss of benefits, you know the net is going to be spread wider to include all employed individuals. So the first step was compliance for education. You know, if you want your kid to go to public school, you got to get vaccinated. So every year, my phone rings with medical professionals asking how they can protect themselves from the flu vaccine. They're required to get it. Well, you know, that kind of speaks volumes, that doctors and nurses don't want to be vaccinated, doesn't it? And I tell them, you know, I can't give medical advice. However, if I were them and wanted to stay employed, I'd probably reverse the vaccine. Now, I do it the same way I reverse venomous bites and other poisons. See, I apply this product that we make at Apothecary Herbs called Skin Poultice. I put that on the injection site right away, as soon as you can. If they ask you anything, just say, oh, I'm putting on something to soothe my skin so it cuts down on irritation. Put a bandage on. Wah, there you go. So this, Skin Poultice, put that on the injection site. It's going to draw out the vaccine, and it's also going to reduce your irritation as well at that site. And then I also use as a backup, I take a blood cleanse by mouth. It's an internal, and that's going to catch any of the vaccine pathogens that may try to reach the blood system. So for less than $50, you can protect yourself from vaccines. So these formulas are also included in the pandemic kit at Apothecary Herbs. So if you get a kit, they'll be in there. You can buy them separate if you want. Personally, I refuse to comply with adult vaccinations because I'm aware that their true purpose is to cripple the immune system, just to wreck it. You know, what God gave you so perfectly sophisticated and works fine, they're going to tear it all down. So for your immune boosting and organ cleansing herbs, you want to call Apothecary Herbs, because if you need some of that anti-vaccine, if you need those tools, just ask them for that. So call for your free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. Of course, you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. They also have money-saving coupons on their website, but if you don't do the internet and you want to call in to place an order, do ask about the coupons. All righty. Shifting gears here. Going to be talking about iodine. You know, a lot of people think iodine, that's that red stuff you put on a cut, right? Remember when you were kids, down to the nurse, down in the nurse's office, you slather that red stuff on? Well, not that kind of iodine. We're not going to talk about that. Because we've been hearing a lot about iodine protecting the thyroid, especially when the Fukushima nuclear disaster occurred. The human thyroid is important for efficient metabolism function. And iodine is in every organ of your body and in all your tissues. So studies suggest that iodine helps the body fight off disease such as cancer. So even without nuclear disasters in the mix, what could be causing us to have low levels of iodine? Can taking iodine supplements help, or could it hurt? Well, we're going to check this out and see what's going on with this iodine issue. Now, some statistics. According to Dr. Joseph Mercola, the worldwide stats on iodine deficiency is about 40%. So according to Dr. David Brownstein, he's an expert on iodine deficiency, and he's also the author of the book Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It. He says 95% of the American patients he sees are iodine deficient. However, health experts say that overall Americans are not iodine deficient. So which is it? Well, are we at risk of a disease because, you know, we don't have enough iodine? Or are we splitting hairs on this issue? Well, the CDC is saying that they estimate that 2.2 million American women are iodine deficient. A more realistic figure is about 11% to 15% of Americans are deficient in iodine. So what causes low iodine? Well, currently doctors can't check iodine levels with your urine sample. But according to Dr. Mercola, if the sample has iodine levels below 50, it indicates moderate to severe iodine deficiency. And we're told that current iodine levels have been steadily decreasing over the last 65 years. So what's causing that? Well, it's suggested that some of our foods that we eat are contributing to the iodine loss, such as foods that contain bromine. So you find bromine in convenient baked goods, some medications, soda. It's also inside plastic containers, and also it's in pesticides. So bromine can also be found in some personal care products, so you want to read your labels real carefully. Now, according to research on bromine, it displaces iodine and increases your risk of serious diseases like cancer. Now, some experts contribute breast, thyroid, ovary, and prostate cancer to this bromine issue. So the other problem is the foods that we eat are much lower in iodine and other mineral nutrients than they were 100 years ago. So the demineralization of the soil, the fluorinated water, and other contaminants have really driven down the iodine level. So before Fukushima occurred, the Japanese were able to consume nearly 90% more natural iodine through their sea vegetables and their fish that was in their diet. So if you compare the United States' recommended daily allowance for iodine, which is 150 micrograms per day, to the Japanese natural diet consumption of about 13,800 micrograms per day, you can see the difference. So prior to the Fukushima disaster, the cancer rates in Japan were extremely low. And you'll notice the Japanese used a natural food source of iodine. It wasn't a synthetic supplement. Okay, so some people say, well, what if I get too much iodine? Well, there is a risk of getting too much iodine when we overdo iodine supplements. And we are aware that if the thyroid does not make enough of its hormones from iodine, that we can develop hypothyroidism. So if we overdo the iodine supplements, we could develop what has been called a subclinical or milder versions of hypothyroidism. And the symptoms would be kind of the same. You feel a little fatigue. You'd have some weight gain. You may increase your risk of heart disease. And in 2012, there was a study that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that stated that although the average American is low in iodine, that taking too much of an iodine supplement can also create problems. So taking just 400 micrograms a day in iodine supplements can, according to the research, create a risk of developing subclinical versions of hypothyroidism. Well, notice, you know, they didn't say what kind of supplement. So I'm going to say they weren't talking about a whole food natural source supplement. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about a synthetic. Well, let's talk about your thyroid supplements for a sec. So what happens to the thyroid when you do take an iodine supplement? Well, the thyroid does not use iodine directly, and it has to metabolize the iodine and convert it into what is iodine 1 and iodine 2, which is the what the thyroid uses for the thyroid globulin. So this metabolizing process kind of splits the iodine ions, which can cause oxidative stress. So it's better to get your natural iodine in your food sources and, you know, leave the supplements for situations of nuclear fallout, okay? So in the case of the nuclear emergency, the iodine supplements tend to flood the body with iodine, protecting the thyroid from the radioactive iodine. And if you take the widely distributed potassium iodine tablets when there is no emergency, this can also put you at risk of what they call thyroid toxosis, where too many thyroid hormones are in the mix, and you can develop what is called Graves disease, which is an autoimmune disorder. So the symptoms would be you sweat, you have tremors, you have increased heart rate, anxiety, sensitivity to heat, feeling hungry, loss of weight, and even a thyroid goiter or even bulging eyes. So how do you test to see if you're getting enough iodine? Well, if you don't feel like, you know, seeing your doctor for a urine analysis to check your iodine level, well, you can try doing a simple skin test. Now, your doctors would have you to buy their skin test called the SSKI or the supersaturated potassium iodine test. However, you can take a potent source of natural iodine, which would also have high concentration of iodine and potassium, and you can test your skin yourself. So, for instance, you might want to use a tincture of black walnut because it's a whole food natural high saturation natural iodine with potassium in it. So you take a few drops and you put it on your skin just inside, on the inside of your arm. You know, that's a good place to put it. And you spread it around to the size of a patch that's maybe 2 inches by 2 inches, and you let it dry. Now, if you see a yellowish stain appear, or when you touch something wet with your fingers, they can develop this yellowish stain on them, which would mean you have adequate iodine in your system. If the patch of iodine you put on your skin seems to disappear within a few hours, it could indicate that you need more iodine. So the longer it takes for the patch to disappear on your skin, the more iodine you have in your system. So if your patch is still evident after 4 to 6 hours, it's safe to say you've got adequate iodine. You're good. However, according to Dr. David Brownstein, the absorption rates can be influenced by atmospheric temperatures and pressure influences by altitude. So he says that if you live in like Denver, Colorado, which is 5,000 feet above sea level, and you compare it to Los Angeles, California, which is at sea level, the iodine will disappear much faster. Okay, so if you're at sea level, it disappears faster. Of course, any test has its margin of error, and you may wish to check with your physician on your test results before you diagnose yourself. All right, so then people say, well, isn't salt iodized? Why do I have to worry about iodine? Well, you would think that people are getting plenty of iodine by consuming salt because salt isn't salt iodized. Well, according to Dr. Marcel Pick, there is no standard requirement to iodize processed salt. It is voluntary, he says, in the United States, and only 1/5 of the salt products are actually iodized. So Dr. Pick's research says that over the last 40 years, the amount of iodine that we are getting in our diet is 50% less. Wow. So this has led to an increase in iodine supplements and the marketplace where people are overloading on supplements and they're really getting too much iodine too quickly, and some are developing iodine-induced hypothyroidism. So iodine from natural food sources is the safer alternative, he says. I agree. I do. Well, let's look at some natural sources. Ocean salt, if you're looking at salt for a natural iodine, make sure you avoid processed salts and you get a sun-dried, unprocessed salt called Celtic sea salt. Should be an ocean salt, not a mined salt. Okay, you want to make sure your natural salt is not mined, and your salt from the sea that is a naturally sun-dried salt, it's not processed, it's not going to look stark white like you normally see salt looking. It'll have this gray look to it, an off-white grayish look to it. Salt that's artificially processed or heated is stripped of the natural minerals, including your iodine, and it turns white. So the sun-dried salts are cardiovascular friendly. They don't promote hypertension like your processed salts do. So, and a salt, see, salt like this that's sun-dried, I like to get it from France, top quality there. They have the sand and clay salt flats at the ocean, and they really have a fantastic salt. So that's where we get our salt at Apothecary Herbs. We get it from France. Celtic sea salt. Another natural source of iodine is seaweed. So if you tend to get your natural iodine from seaweed, make sure that you are using a source not affected by radiation from Fukushima. So seaweed from the Atlantic, preferable over the Pacific. Also, getting back to that salt, mined salt, a lot of people ask me about that. Well, your Himalayan mined salts will be an orange or brown. They can contain shale, and shale can clog kidneys, so you be careful out there. All right, let's talk about another natural source of your iodine instead of synthetic is black walnut. So if you're looking for the highest concentration of a natural iodine, you're going to find it in black walnut. And it also has significant natural potassium with it. See, God knew what he was doing chemistry-wise, you see there. And a little of this goes a long way as your natural source for iodine. And you don't have to actually take it every day, especially if you're also using Celtic sea salt, for instance. So I would select black walnut tincture due to the potency and longer shelf life. And you can also use that to test your iodine level on your skin. You can use the black walnut tincture to do that. Very cool. Where do you get your iodine? Well, you can get your Celtic sea salt and your black walnut. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have both. They also have body food mix, which has seaweed in it for a little bit of natural sea iodine there with that food. So you can check all that out at thepowerherbs.com, and if you want to call, you can call and get a free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is the web address if you want to check it out online. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277, international, and thepowerherbs.com web address. All right, we have a few minutes. I kind of flew through all that. I have a few minutes, so I wanted to take a moment to talk about some of the prescriptions that people are taking that can actually increase their risk of death. Yeah, prescriptions can do that. I did a report once on the percentage of deaths based on prescriptions written. And we find that prescription drugs are responsible for 52% of deaths. That's a lot. So the statistics reflect that hospital doctors and coroners, when they're performing all these autopsies, they're the ones that have to write on that death certificate cause of death. So are patients overdosing on purpose on their meds, or is this accidental? For the most part, the prescription drugs related to deaths from patients, they're taking their medicines as prescribed. So they were following doctor's orders. And drugs accumulate in the body, and they cause an accumulated toxic condition. And after a while, the organs fail. They can't clear the toxins away fast enough, and death can occur. So there are also metabolic changes that are created when you do take prescription drugs. And if patients are on more than one medication, doctors and pharmacists really don't know what those metabolic changes are going to be. So after that first drug, you're a big question mark. So the risk is really high if you're using those lifelong prescriptions in an attempt to stabilize a function. In the long run, the drugs create a worse condition and can give you a secondary disease even. That's called a side effect, though. So, you know, when doctors and coroners, hospitals do autopsies, they kind of discover a few things. According to the National Vital Statistics System, 52% of mortality is due to the prescription drugs. And over 35, you know, over a 35-year period, that's been consistent. So it's most likely a low estimate because, according to the CDC, over 20% of Americans are taking more than one prescribed medicine. So the number of autopsies are down, dropping over 50% since 1972, which means only a fraction of the drug deaths are being investigated. Yeah, I mean, because medical examiners or coroners aren't required by law to do an autopsy on you. Unless the death is suspicious or it's untimely. In other words, you know, a young person dies and they've got to know the cause because young people usually don't just drop dead. So other than that, the family has to request an autopsy. So a lot of these deaths by drugs aren't recorded because, you know, people aren't having autopsies. Now, according to the World Health Organization, the top 10 causes of death globally are, they say, from heart disease, stroke, COPD, which is your emphysema, chronic bronchitis, and asthma, pneumonia, bronchitis, AIDS, diarrhea, and diabetes. They also list injury, trauma, and high blood pressure. But drugs are killing more people than the car accidents. So the medications, according to Dr. Mercola, are excessive and unnecessary in a lot of situations. And people seem to be overdue for a wake-up call regarding, you know, prescription drugs for everything. So big players are Merck, Baxter, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca for your lobbyists for Congress to protect them from all this 52% mortality rate by their prescription drugs. There's a better way, folks. Learn how. ThePowerHerbs.com. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, see you well.